It's time for JT the Brick.
This is the place to come for Raiders.
Intercepted, going to be a touchdown.
I was shocked. I mean, I was very, very pleased, but I was totally shocked.
I mean, that to me is insanity.
We have good players that came to play today, and I give our guys credit.
And I'm vested in the team, and I want to see the team win, especially when they get here.
JT the Brick.
I need Derek Carr to play better.
Derek Carr was on point like the old Derek Carr.
But my favorite Brown was obviously Trent, for obvious reasons, right?
That's what we're dealing with here. Can Carr get it done?
Carr drops back into the gun. Protection, end zone, diving catch! Touchdown, Raiders!
I mean, I want to see the team win, especially when they get here.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, we're going to try this again. Hour number two of the show. Thanks to my buddy Bo from Alsco who came in. They have the best solutions for your business. Go check out alsco.com. Our friends from PT's just texted me and reminded me about Saturday, November 2nd. Here we go, UFC 244, PT's Ranch, Blue Diamond and Lindell. $10 coverage charge. UFC fighter meet and greet. Get there, Juan Archuleta. That's UFC 244, Saturday, November 2nd, PT's Ranch, Blue Diamond and Lindell. Get there, only a $10 coverage charge for the fight. There's a meet and greet with Juan Archuleta. You want to be there for that. That is November 2nd, the Saturday. Be a part of it. Hey, happy Halloween, everybody. Derek Carr is going to join us coming up in 20 minutes, the quarterback of the Silver and Black. I'll give you full analysis of the Raiders. I'm heading up tomorrow to the Biletnikoff Foundation Crab Feed, which I'm a part of, with a lot of players, coaches. Great event for Fred Biletnikoff, who joined us earlier in the week. We had Hall of Famer Mike Haynes join us this week, and I got you the quarterback of the Silver and Black. I didn't do any of it. We thank Will Kiss and the media team from the Raiders who feed us the best guest in this town when it comes to the team that's coming to town in the NFL. Also, it's hockey night. We're giving away two pairs of tickets. So we're excited about that for the game coming up here. For the best call, we had a rough first hour. I mean, it was rough to get people to talk hockey here. And Bobby just handed me a pair of tickets tonight. You got to get to our building in the next hour or so. Marilyn Manson. Wow, Marilyn Manson at the Pearl. Good seats. We have a pair of tickets to Marilyn Manson. If you want to go to this, Bobby would love to go, but he's working the hockey game tonight. And if someone else could run the hockey game, which no one seems to, you could go. If I could run the hockey game, I would give you a night to go see Marilyn Manson. That's at the Pearl. That's what's cool about working here. Every once in a while, people are leaving and they're locking up. Right, they're locking up to go home on the weekend. They're like, hey, we got tickets to concerts. We want to get them to your listeners. We appreciate Mark Moore and everyone here behind it. Derek, you're on the flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights. Before we have a guest coming up here, go win the hockey tickets. What do you got?
JT, my man. Hey, love the show.
Thank you.
So I'm in a pickle. You can help me. I'm like your man Bo from Alsco.
Yes.
I'm a transplant to the desert. I came here from Canada 15 years ago, married a desert rat. We're having our 15-year anniversary next month. I haven't done anything to plan for it. You could help me out in a big way if you...
I mean, dude, I'd have you over to the house. You can come to my house in Summerlin. I'd have you over for some wine. My wife would put out some cheese. I'd order Grimaldi's pizza. I'll celebrate with you. But that's not the way you cut the line to get the hockey tickets. You got to have some hockey takes. You got to have some passion for some VGK. Give me something.
Okay, I can tell you this. From the day that I went to my first game, I put on an Oilers shirt. It was an Oilers versus VGK. I put on the night shirt. It's been VGK from that game since. And I think tonight they need to bring out all stops. They need to play hard. They need to forecheck. They need to play the game that Gallant wants them to play. I think that the only way they can make it work is if they get Nate Schmidt back and really shore up that D-line. But I'm hoping that, I hope they can put a win on tonight. But
okay.
But if you could get me out of this pickle, I'd be very grateful.
All right. Thanks for the call. We'll put you in consideration for that. Asking for hockey tickets from me because it's your anniversary and you don't get out much is a difficult way for me to give you. Bobby, who runs the show, doesn't get out much. He wants to go to Marilyn Manson tonight. But I appreciate you being honest. You know, Bobby, I can't bust balls when people call in, because when people don't call in, I bust balls, right? So when the phones are ringing off the hook because I got something free, I got to lighten up a bit. What could be great for me going forward is give me more stuff to give away, and we'll do more of that, and I'll lighten up more. But I love this hockey team. And I know a couple people mock me. JT, he's a fan. Yeah, I'm a fan. I got other jobs. I got four jobs. I go to this game to go watch the team, to get access, to talk about them in a positive light. When they're not playing well, we hammer them. And let's see what happens with this game. Joe Lisi, at Go for the Two. Are you following Joe yet? I've been telling you, who's better? Who's better in this business who can cover every game in college football going forward? Joe, good to talk to you again. Last week was big. My son's Oklahoma, where he goes, they lose. Notre Dame loses in the rain. We saw Georgia lose before that. First off, give me big picture on what the college football playoff is looking like to you.
Yeah, I think it's shaping up, JT. And Grimaldi's and wine and cheese sound great for me. So anytime I'm out in Vegas, let's do it. But I think it's shaping up to be a great November. We have a team in Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, and LSU. In my opinion, the top four heading into the final 4 weeks. We'll see how it plays out because, as you know, the month of November does have some upsets along the way. So we'll see how it plays out this coming season.
Yeah, there's a lot of big games coming up here, but we've seen a couple of big games the last couple of weeks. I want to start off with just UNLV before we get to the big boys. Tony Sanchez's team against San Diego State started off slow, came back into the game a little bit too late. Colorado opens up an 8.5-point favorite. We'll play it around 8.5. The Wolves are at the door. Sanchez is trying to keep his job for everything he's done, but this team can't win. Can they win a flat-out upset on the road at Colorado State?
Yeah, I think they can, and I watched that game against San Diego State. It kept me up till about 2:30 in the morning. I thought they played very well against the Aztecs. They ran the football, just couldn't convert in critical situations. And going in this matchup against Colorado State, they're going to need to run the football. Colorado State, ineffective in run support, so I think they match up very well. I'll take them with the 8.5 points. I mean, I think this ball game is an even ball game. It should be in the area of about 2.5 to 3 points, but I was very impressed with UNLV's effort against a blue-collar team in San Diego State last week.
I like hearing that. I thought the same thing. I thought the number was too big. I like UNLV at least to cover, but they have to win the game outright to get back into this. World's largest cocktail party in Jacksonville, Georgia, Florida. Georgia opens up 6.5. We'll play it at 6.5. Florida has really played themselves into national contention, and Georgia is a wounded animal that has to run the table.
Yeah, great point. And Georgia's won two straight in the series, and they've won those games by 27 points per game. Last year, they pulled away in the fourth quarter. But I think it comes down to which quarterback do you have more confidence in? Do you have more confidence in Jake Fromm or Kyle Trask? And I lean to Jake Fromm in this matchup. I don't think it'll be easy. I think it'll be a lower-scoring game, and I favor the under in this matchup. I still like Georgia's talent, not sold on the consistent rushing attack of Florida, averaging around 150 yards per game. They can be forced into long third down situations, and that's where I give the edge to the Bulldogs in this matchup. I could see them winning this game anywhere from 7 to 13 points in there, but I would still take Georgia laying the wood.
Joe Lisi, the great Joe Lisi. I don't say that easy. He's that good at Go for the Two. Oregon at USC. Interested more in the total at 62. Oregon opened up -7, now -5. Really, nothing for USC other than to fight for their coach, who we all believe is on the way out. Oregon, the win against Washington was huge to get them back into the discussion here. How do you see the Ducks on the road at SC?
Yeah, now they've stepped up this year. That's something that they haven't done over the last 3 years. They were in an inconsistent road team, but have gotten solid road wins against Washington a couple of weeks ago, and now face USC. Here's the matchup for me. I mean, that secondary for Oregon only giving up 207 yards per game, but over the last couple of games against Washington and Washington State, they allow 289 and 404 yards respectively, going up against those wide receivers of USC. I mean, that trio for USC has combined for 140 receptions 1,825 receiving yards and 16 total touchdowns. They play better as an underdog as they do as a favorite. So I like Keaton Slovis. They showed me something on the road. Calling for the upset, but I think it's high scoring. I'm with you. USC with a 5-point win over the Ducks Saturday night in the Coliseum.
Wow. USC over the Ducks in the Coliseum. We'll remember that. One right in your wheelhouse as we're talking to Joe Lisi at Go for the Two on Twitter. Florida State opens up -6.5 sharp money in on Miami. It's now 3. Rivalry game. We've talked about this over the years with you, Joe. These guys have been playing against each other since Pop Warner through high school. They know each other. The coaches and the programs know each other. Big spot here for Miami if they can win this game on the road. And is Florida State starting to turn for you? Are you seeing more out of this team every week?
Well, I'm seeing more consistency out of Florida State. Miami's won 2 straight in the series by 2.5 points per game. And you remember last year, Florida State jumped out to the big lead as a 14.5 point underdog and surrendered that game to Miami. But I like the rushing attack of Florida State. A couple of weeks ago against a blue-collar team in Wake Forest, they pounded the rock for right in the area of about 164 yards. Last week, they followed that up with a 240-yard effort against Syracuse. And they're running the football more over the last couple of games, 46 and 47 attempts. I like that type of recipe. That'll take the pressure off of James Blackman. Don't like both teams overall, but if I had a pick, I would take Florida State in this matchup because I think they're playing the more consistent football in heading into the month of November.
Joe, finally, you always give us one off the beaten path, a game that you like a lot that maybe no one's talking about. What game jumps out at you that you feel you have the winner going into this weekend?
Yeah, I give two. I like a favorite in Oklahoma State. It comes down for me, third down defense. Last 4 weeks for Oklahoma State against Kansas State, Texas Tech, Iowa State, and Baylor, they've held those teams to 11 of 51 third down conversions. That's 21%. They have the more balanced offense. Playing at home, going up against a freshman quarterback in Dugan. I like Oklahoma State. And then a big dog, Ole Miss, catching 19.5 against Auburn. Everybody thinks Ole Miss is a finesse team. They're coming out of a bye week. And you look at their rush defense, holding opposing offenses to 3.6 yards per carry, only 997 total yards, and only 9 rushing touchdowns. And this is a team over the last 4 weeks against Alabama. They put up 279, over 400 yards rushing against Vanderbilt, and over 200 against Missouri and A&M. They cover the number against a beaten-down Auburn team that lost on the road to LSU last week.
That's really sharp because that line opened up 16. Now it's 19 for Auburn, and you love Mississippi to cover that spread.
I do. Yep. Even though Auburn's won 3 straight by 15.6 points per game, look for Ole Miss to push the Tigers to the limit on the Plains.
Nice job, Joe, as always, at Go for the Two. Everything he does, I push it out. We'll talk to you again next week. Have a great Halloween, Joe.
You too, JT. Love the show.
That's Joe Lisi. Really good. The fact that he gives you winners, God, I like that. He just tells you. He gave you the big one. Mississippi to cover at Auburn. He loves it there. Derek Carr, the quarterback of the Raiders, coming up in about 6 or 7 minutes. If you're a Raider fan, you don't want to miss that. Brian on hockey night on the flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights. Hello.
JT, how's it going?
Doing well, man. What's happening?
Awesome. In regards, Jamari Pito, I was waiting for you. But listen, as far as this game tonight, Smitty's back, baby. Smitty's back, baby. Really excited about that. He's going to press the defense. And they're going to get hard on that side of the blue line. Fleury's going to shut him down. We're going to get some donuts tomorrow over at Krispy Kreme's. And we're going to have a good time with this game tonight, JT.
Did you just predict a Krispy Kreme shutout on this show, the flagship?
Oh, yes. I'm the one that said it first, sir.
All right, I'll remember that. Thanks for the call, my friend. I appreciate it. 876-1340. We haven't had a donuts prediction in quite some time. Very surprised by that. Mike, you're up next on the flagship game night of the Vegas Golden Knights.
JT, what's going on, brother?
All good, thank you.
How can you not be excited tonight? Schmidt's back. Hopefully Chuck will be back tonight. We need our first and third line to look solid again. Our Flower is being unstoppable. Also, I don't know if anyone realizes our Stone Man has been putting in goals back-to-back nights. So tonight, I hope Pat Chiaretti scores big time on his old team. I hope this team gets shut out big time, and I cannot wait to see what these guys have in store for Saturday night as well, because I believe we're going to go on a two-game, possibly a three-game run. That's how I feel tonight.
Appreciate the call. You're in consideration. Thank you, my brother. Thanks for checking in, Bobby. I need a timeout. I need a timeout because we got the quarterback of the Raiders coming up before a big game. Derek Carr is coming up next. We'll talk to Derek Carr about Matthew Stafford, who is a friend of his. We'll get into the road trip and now that he is back home and what's in front of the Raiders here. I'd like to see the Raiders be a little bit more explosive. We'll talk to Derek Carr and see if the Raiders can do that. It's a big spot for them. I mean, look, the Raiders have been okay this year, but the last two losses, they were not okay. The defense got torched. So Derek might have to do it bigger than he has all year long, and I'm cool with that. I'll ask him that coming up next. The quarterback of the Silver and Black, they'll be coming to Vegas next year. Derek Carr joins us next.
Carr is back, got the snap, back into the gun. Looks, chased out of the pocket. Fires to the middle, complete. We've got a touchdown. Wide open, Tyrell Williams again. That's a 46-yard touchdown pass. Carr to Williams.
Brent Musburger on the call, coming off three touchdowns. The quarterback of the Silver and Black, Derek Carr, joins us. Derek, thanks a lot for doing this. How you been?
I'm doing good, JT. Yep. How you doing?
Great to talk to you. Last time I saw you, you were in the locker room at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium going back and forth, euphoria. What's it like now prepping at home, getting ready for this upcoming home schedule?
You know, it's really nice to be able to play a home game in your own country. You know, as much as I love England and had fun there, it's nice to be able to sleep in my own bed this week. So to be able to prep here and get ready for a home game, I know our fans are itching to have us home. We're itching to be home, and it's going to be a rowdy environment.
Derek, you were close to getting the offensive line completely healthy. Then Rodney gets banged up. You missed a game for Trent, wasn't there. Incognito missed two to start the year off. It's been tough. And Gabe getting hurt up in Napa. You felt like you were getting close having them all back. How have you been handling that as a leader with the subs coming in up front in front of you?
Oh, man, just trying to, you know, instill confidence at all times in those guys that have to come in. You know, making sure that, you know, when they come in the huddle, they hear a calm voice. You know, making sure that they, you know, I can tell them to take a breath and, you know, continue to do their job and, you know, play fast. And don't worry about mistakes. Just play fast, play hard, and we'll take care of the rest. And that's really just my job as a leader. Now, their job was to prepare and be ready to play. And those guys that have rolled in and played have played at a high level, and you got to give a lot of credit to them and a lot of credit to their position coaches.
You know, I haven't talked to you about the same thing with receivers, with Tyrell being out. He's got a touchdown in every game he's playing with. You hit Renthrow. Everybody talked early in the season about AB not being on the roster. There's been some turnover also, but it seems like you and Coach Gruden and Coach Olsen and Morton have more exotic plays. The playbook looks like it's more wide open. How much are you embracing that?
We're having a good time, to be honest. I think we're seeing the fruits of just time spent together. You know, this offense isn't something that's mastered in 1 year, as much as we tried to. This is something that takes time. It takes a group of guys coming together and understanding what their jobs are and what we're, you know, asking each other to do. And you know, I think that what we're seeing now is, you know, we got a group of guys that understand, you know, what's expected. We got a group of guys that understand, you know, their jobs and their assignments. You know, they're not like in the huddle asking questions. You know, we got, you know, we've already laid the foundation a little bit, and we're still doing that. But what you see is guys, you know, 2 years into this thing, you know, at certain positions that can help those guys that may be new. So we can, you know, open it up and do things like that.
Derek Carr joins us. Derek, tell us what it's like when you hand off to Josh Jacobs, then you turn around and see him hit the hole. What does that look like? How has it been different than other running backs you've had in the past?
Oh, man, you know, I played with some really good running backs too. You know, he reminds me a lot of his of Marshawn with the physicality that he runs with. I can say that. I can compare that for sure. He reminds me a lot of, you know, Latavius Murray. You know, with his pass protection. You know, he reminds me honestly, a lot of, Doug Martin and the effort that he plays with. You know, I can list a whole bunch of things, but, you start to add those things up and you say, well, he's taking some pretty good qualities from some pretty good running backs, right? you got your guy, you got yourself a Josh Jacobs. And I was praying, when the Eagles were picking that they would skip on him, and they did, and we were able to get him. So we knew he was special, and we're glad that we have him.
With a completion percentage over 72%, having another big year for you statistically, can it get frustrating at times on second and six or second and seven on second down when you're running the ball, when maybe there's an opportunity for you to attack downfield? For the fans who want you to throw deeper downfield, what does that look like going forward?
Yeah, no doubt. And I think in the last couple of weeks for the yards per attempt people, we've been averaging a lot of yards per attempt, but we lost. So there's always that, right? My job is to do exactly what my coach has asked me to do on every single play. And I try to do that at a high level. So if it's a run play, we're going to make sure we're in the best run look possible. And when you got a guy like Josh that can do things like that, you got to take advantage of it. But in the last couple of weeks, we've had some options where we could, let it fly. And it's been good, but we've left some plays out there, and we got to make some more plays down the field as an offense.
You were pretty vocal. Everybody was vocal when Vontaze Burfict got suspended, a captain of the defense. I know how much, Derek, the captaincy means to you. And when that happened, everyone who stepped up on the defensive side, the defense is getting some criticism because of the loss at Green Bay and what happened in Houston with you only getting the ball three times in the second half. What can you do to keep yourself on the field longer? Maybe that defense gets a rest against the Lions and you can attack more.
Absolutely. I think that's where you see where the run game comes into play, right? JT, you and I both know, if one side of the ball is struggling, there's ways to, help them out and things like that. And this is a team game, So at the end of the day, there's no blame to be placed on just one spot. We lost as a team, right? And, we can run the ball. We can chew some clock. We can help those guys get rested. We can do all that kind of stuff while trying to sustain drives and get points. So, there's definitely some things that we can do to help them, and I'm excited about those guys because today in practice they were flying around with a purpose. It was good.
Derek, as we wrap it up, I know what your wife and your family means to you. When you heard what Matthew Stafford was going through with his wife's illness and how he was able to focus completely on his family, now you compete against him. You see the numbers he's putting up. What can you say about the quarterback of the Lions?
Oh, I love Matthew Stafford, man. He's one of my favorites in the league. He's one of those guys. You're in and you're out, just balls. He's got a great arm. He's got a cannon for an arm. He's a super competitor. Love competing against him. He's and what he dealt with their family. We were, my wife and I were praying for them and wishing them well. And I'm glad that everyone's doing better.
And finally, speaking of family, the Raider Nation devastated as Willie Brown was laid to rest. You handled Cliff Branch really great up in Napa. Willie was with you the entire time you came into this organization. If you can comment on the impact that Willie had on your life.
Yes, absolutely. And thanks for asking, because Willie's a Raider. Whenever you think of the Raiders, you think definitely of Willie Brown. And there was never a time where you talked to Willie and he didn't smile. There was never a time where you saw Willie and you had an interaction with him that you didn't laugh. He's always full of one-liners. He's always full of life. And he loved the Raiders. I think he loved the Raiders even more than he hated the Broncos, and that's saying a lot. So, Willie is a Raider, for life. He's someone that will be remembered forever, here. And, there's not enough good things that I could say, but we sure do miss him.
On a basketball note, Anthony Davis, 26 to 27 from the free throw line, 40 and 20. I mean, that was one of the greatest three-quarter Laker performances of all time.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for mentioning that, because my Lakers are starting to look all right, and I'm kind of excited about it. So if Anthony Davis can just go ahead and average 40 and 20 all year, that'd be great.
Great to see you back in the East Bay. Good luck against the Lions. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, JT.
Thank you, Derek. Derek Carr, quarterback of the Raiders. How cool is that? And I wanted to ask him about attacking more downfield, and he basically said he's going to follow what his coaches say. So I'd like to see him, and I asked him that. What about going downfield when they're handing off on second and six, second and seven? Because what I think it does is it puts a lot of pressure on Derek on third down where he's got to be perfect. If you don't get the third down conversion, you're off the field. That's what happened in Houston. So what I'd like to see from time to time a little bit more is on second and seven, take a shot. Throw it 30 yards. Move the chains. Get a first down, but pick up actual big yardage. His numbers look good again. 72%. 72% completion ratio. Yards per attempt. Everything is building for Derek Carr. He's a borderline Pro Bowler this year with his numbers. You can't deny it. But this is a test for him. Stafford's got 16 touchdowns to only 4 interceptions, and he's thrown for more yardage. He's over 2,000 already. So it's an important game for Derek. I'm happy we were able to get him on before it. Chris, on hockey night, you're up on the flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights.
JT, huge fan. Love your show every single day. But let me get right to it. I'm excited for Schmidt and Tuck's return tonight. With that being said, it'll be great to see them in the lineup, but us as Golden Knights fans, we got to be excited for the up-and-comers that replaced them while they were out. I think it's something to look forward and moving forward. I think the next two games at home are important, considering that we have 4 games on the road. So if they can start getting those power play goals in like they were earlier in the season, they had a little slump there. But I think if they can get back to the power play, I know they were 1-3 at Anaheim. I think the ball is going to be rolling very positively for the Vegas Golden Knights moving forward in the season.
That's a very good phone call. You brought up the power play, the momentum of that, what they need to do, some of the games of the past, all of that. I think that's a fabulous phone call. You're in contention. Stay on hold for a pair of tickets. That's what I'm looking for every day. I'm looking for guys like that to call in with passion. They know about the team, and they can see something coming in that they want to see. The calls are getting better. I can say that, but this is fun. Good to hear people calling in who know this team. And a lot of people have been saying today, as Bobby mentioned, Nate Schmidt. Absolutely. Nate Schmidt being back is a really big deal. Well, here come the Arizona Cardinals. They take a 6-0 lead on the 49ers. On this drive, they went the length of the field and tore up the Niners. Just tore them up on the road, at home in Arizona. So this is nice. This is going to be a game tonight. I'm a Kyler Murray fan. I like Kyler Murray a lot. Cardinals, extra point pending. Let's see if they make it. They do. Arizona 7, 49ers nothing. Who took this game tonight? Who was thinking about the Niner Empire in a blowout? The Niners, I'm not anti-Niner, even though I work for the Raiders. I'm not rooting for the Niners every week to lose. I've never been that guy. But I will tell you, if the Niners lose this game, back to reality. Okay? Back to reality, because they played no one. Line opened up San Francisco -7. It went off at the Westgate. Niners, a 10-point favorite. Total 43.5. I think a lot of people took the over in this game, and I think it will go over. It just showed you right there. Niners defense got tore up. Arizona went right down the field and scored. We touched on the World Series last night. I'd like to get a baseball call or a tweet on how that affected you last night. It was a really good game. As I was on the air afterwards, we took a bunch of calls on SiriusXM where I do a night show, and everybody who was at the game, the Astro fans are devastated. I mean, crippling devastation. Can you imagine having a ticket to the World Series in Houston for 4 games and you didn't win one of them? Can you imagine that? Imagine having tickets for the Vegas Golden Knights for 4 games of the Stanley Cup Final and they don't win one. Football has a Super Bowl. In all these other major sports, you have a 7-game series in the final, and it's the first time that ever happened where the road team won all the game. Steph Curry broke his hand. I'll tell you something about that, too, also. I cannot believe how many people have thrown in the towel on the Warriors. The Warriors were dominant the last 6 seasons, winning 3 championships in 5 years. They've been very good and very competitive. So they opened up their new arena, the Chase Center, which is so expensive you have to take out a mortgage to go to the game. In a matter of 6 games, they lost Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry, dating back to last year. And earlier today, with Stephen A. Smith, Kevin Durant admitted that one of the reasons he left was because of the skirmish argument he had with Draymond Green. So Kevin Durant is starting to speak a little bit. And the other topic that really bothers me in the NBA is last night, Kawhi Leonard got the night off for load management. Here we go again. Do you believe this? He got the night off for rest. The season just started. So we're now past go, can't collect the 200, we're gone. We're now at a point in time where NBA players who get a salary per game of well over six figures. I don't know what you make out there, but this is a great working city. Men and women working two jobs, construction workers, people working multiple jobs, single families, trying to support kids. And last night, Kawhi Leonard, who roughly makes between $130,000 and $160,000 a game, took the night off for rest. How's that for sports? You cool with that? Now, if it was the last week of the season and the playoffs are starting and he was starting to wear down a bit, I get it. No problem at all. But after what, game four? Going into game four or game five? And Steph Curry's gone for a while? Zion Williamson's not there to start the season? I mean, the leagues that I watch and you watch, no Andrew Luck in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, did you get this update? O.J. Simpson, who I don't talk about much for obvious reasons. O.J. Simpson is walking around Vegas now dressed as Patrick Mahomes. If you follow O.J. on social media, which I do not, but if you go to O.J. Simpson, you might say, well, JT, why are you telling me about this if you don't follow OJ, because I don't follow OJ, but I follow my Twitter, and it's all over there. OJ just tweeted out 24 minutes ago, Happy Halloween from OJ Mahomes. He's in full Mahomes pads, jersey, sunglasses, tweaked up afro, and the bandana that he wears. What is going on? My neighbor in the neighborhood there, OJ.
Does he have a State Farm agent with him also?
Yeah, be good, Bobby. He's wearing a throwback old school Mahomes jersey. And it's got 3,200 retweets and almost 10,000 likes.
That's so sad. You know how bad he wants to be back in the NFL.
Oh, he loves this. Oh, when he found fantasy football and social media, when those two new things came into his life, social media, which he didn't have 9 years in jail, and obviously, he loves just being out in public. He loves selfies. And there he is in the full-blown Mahomes tonight. Niners in a little bit of trouble already. George Kittle is limping off. Looks like he's going to the locker room. We'll get you an update on that. They're one of their best players. And this is a nightmare start for the 49ers as Kittle's going under the tent. And we're looking at a 7-0 deficit already as the Niners have the ball on their own 23-yard line. When we come back, we'll talk to Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports. If you're gambling, he's a must-listen because he's given us three games for free. And he does that every time he comes on, so we greatly appreciate that. Lee Sterling coming up next. He's going to give you the Georgia-Florida game, Eagles-Chicago, and New England-Baltimore. He's got a big business, and he's giving you free games. Stick around. That's coming up next.
There's another knee, and that is going to do it. Your Wildcats have beaten number 5 Oklahoma. And the Cats rush the field. The Sooners are headed to their locker room. An incredible victory today by Chris Kleiman's Wildcats.
Oklahoma lost. My son goes there. Lee Sterling's daughter goes to the U at Miami. And you're a big Miami guy, Lee, so it hurts that much more when your kid's school loses because it affects travel going forward and the opportunity to go to more games, right?
Oh, it doesn't. Actually, I was at the game. So I was in Kansas City for the weekend. I was at the Kansas State game on Saturday. I actually was in Jim Colbert's box. You remember the golfer,
yeah.
Jim Colbert? Yeah, I was in his box and had a great time. And it looked like, you know, the game starts and Oklahoma's up 10-0. My friend says to me, well, we'll be leaving after halftime. Well, turned out to be one of the biggest upsets of the year.
Yeah, it was. And the Oklahoma got down by so much, even though they stormed back. It was way too late. We're going to start off with the world's largest cocktail party which is just such an amazing sporting event that I haven't been to, that I got to get to at some point in my life for obvious reasons. I like the way Florida put themselves into contention this year. Georgia lost a big game against South Carolina, and they're trying to dig out of that hole and run the table. Georgia minus six versus Florida. How do you see it?
You know, I don't understand the line. I make lines. I'm watching games, the afternoon games on Sunday, and I made this line as 3 or 3.5. So Georgia's good, but they're not the same as last year. Now, when you look at Florida, they've scored 24 more points in every game. So when you evaluate this game in the way I do, I'm looking at this game, I'm saying Georgia needs to probably score 30 or more points. Well, based on the last 2 weeks versus Kentucky, 21 points, South Carolina, 17 points, and then throw out, you know, the lower-level teams, and the only other team of significance is Notre Dame, and they scored 23. They just don't have the receiving core. They don't have a tight end. Whereas Florida, this kid Kyle Trask has got a tight end and Fitz, two wide receivers, and Swain and Jefferson. Those three guys have combined for 84 receptions and 10 touchdowns. Florida got embarrassed the last 2 years. It's not going to happen this year. Wrong team's favorite. Florida outright, 27-20.
Florida 27-20 over Georgia outright. Wow. Lee Sterling at Paramount Sports. At Paramount Sports, a must follow. How many handicappers come on the radio, especially in Vegas, and give you free picks who have a track record? Not many. Let's move to the NFL. And I was all over it and right on Philadelphia at Buffalo. I just thought that they were going to treat it like it was a playoff game. They were going to run it, take the ball out of Carson Wentz's hands. And Buffalo just couldn't score. They couldn't get anything going. Now we're seeing the same thing with Mitchell Trubisky, where he's doubting himself. They don't have a kicking game, and they have to go to a hostile environment, the Bears, into Philadelphia. Philadelphia minus three. Now the lines move to about 4.5, depending on where you're shopping. We'll play it at 5 where you got it at. Philadelphia hosting the Chicago Bears. How do you have it?
Well, normally in the NFL, the number 5 is a dead number. The favorite only covers about 41 to 42% of the time. But in this game here, the Bears held the Eagles to 1.8 yards per carry when they met in the playoffs last year, and they still lost the game 16 to 15 here. The Eagles got their confidence back after that win last week, and they scored 31 points on the road. A very good Buffalo defense here. So I'm going to discount that London game here. The Bears haven't played a true road game in 6 weeks. So maybe it wasn't such an upset that the Bears lost to the Raiders in London here. And the Eagles, they have one of the top 10 run defenses, and their secondary is getting healthier. Give me the Eagles here, 24-16.
Yeah, another one I agree with you on. Nice call with that. Let's see if the Eagles can stay on a roll with the Cowboys in the NFC East. Everybody is fascinated, and I really appreciate you giving us this game. New England at Baltimore. Finally, New England plays their first game of the year. Literally. This is their first game of the year. It's the easiest schedule in the history of the NFL for a Super Bowl champ. Fact, not fiction. Look at the degree of difficulty and the records of the teams they played. But Baltimore still has Lamar Jackson, and he's not Tom Brady, and he'll never be Tom Brady. And I always know, and you've taught me this, that Belichick will take one player out of the game, and he always does that. But it's tough to take the quarterback out of the game, especially that he's a running quarterback. Big line move. New England minus 6.5, now New England minus 3. Why is that line moving? Who do you like?
Well, the public sees that they're off a bye week, Baltimore, and you know, in the past, in years past, that was a great angle, but not the case the last couple of years, and also the fact that Lamar Jackson and his escapability and his dual threat capability will pose a threat to New England. But remember this, as good as Lamar Jackson is, 1,650 passing yards, almost 600 rushing yards on the year, New England has 31 sacks on the year. 19 interceptions. They get off to fast starts. In fact, they've outscored opponents 88-6 in the first quarter. This is not the same Baltimore team in years past. You think of them having a great pass rush. Not the case. Only 12 sacks here. And New England does it on the road. 8-3 against the spread the last 11 road games. New England stays unbeaten here. 30-20.
30-20. New England beats Baltimore by 10. 30-20 on the road. in Baltimore. 50 points. The total on that game is 45. Lee Sterling at Paramount Sports. And how can we get your game of the week? Because this is going to be an interesting one for me. Green Bay's at the Chargers. We saw how many Steeler fans got into that little soccer stadium. It was 10-1. It wasn't 50-50. And I think Green Bay travels just as good, if not better, than Pittsburgh when they come out west. So that is a home game for the Green Bay Packers. Line opened up Green Bay -4. Now it's down to 3.5. Let us know how to get in touch with you to get your game of the week.
Just call right now. 800-400-9741. Getting that Green Bay Chargers game. Big game for the Chargers. They lose this game, they're probably done. Green Bay, they want home field advantage. So call 800-400-9741. A lot of people call this next month coming up tomorrow, November. Paramount Sports, we call it November. 13 of the last 14 years, we've had a successful month. So you want to hop on board? Normally $597 for the 5 weeks of action. Use coupon code SAVE200, just $397 for all 5 weeks in November. And remember, we have football every Tuesday and Wednesday now because the MAC is starting up playing on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So check it out here, ParamountSports.com. Call 800-400-9741.
800-400-9741. Lee Sterling at Paramount Sports. Thank you, sir. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, JT.
Lee Sterling, all the way from Miami, ParamountSports.com. So the Niners are down 7-0. Arizona's got the ball again. 6 minutes and 40 seconds to go here in the first quarter. And, excuse me, the Niners have the ball. Niners just got the ball back. So the Niners are on their own 30-yard line. Jimmy Garoppolo off to a slow start in this game on 2nd and 11 as he throws it underneath close to a first down. A lot of news coming in baseball as we say goodbye to baseball. The Patriots releasing Josh Gordon off of IR is a big story, depending on where you stand now with the Raiders going after Josh Gordon. Now remember, Josh Gordon had a marijuana problem for a long time. He couldn't get back into the league because he couldn't stop smoking pot. The league is now more lenient on marijuana use, period. And in the next couple of years, it's going to be legal to smoke marijuana in the NFL. He's young. He's athletic. He'll be healthy at some point. Is he worth the risk for the Raiders? In my opinion, yes. Josh Gordon is being released off injured reserve by the Patriots. Gordon's been playing through a left knee injury. Was knocked out at the Giants game on October 10th. He injured the knee while attempting to make a tackle off a Patriots fumble. So the Patriots played games with him. They used a minor designation for his placement on injured reserve, satisfying and signifying a lesser injury. That meant that the team had to release him upon his return to health. So here we go. Wow. What a big story for the Raiders. Through 6 games, Gordon has 20 catches for 87 yards and 1 touchdown. In December of this past year, Gordon was suspended indefinitely for violating the terms of his reinstatement under the NFL's drug policy. His suspension was lifted, miraculously, by Roger Goodell. I believe it was lifted because Roger Goodell is becoming more lenient on marijuana use, even for repeat offenders. So, would I go after him if he's available for the Raiders? Absolutely. He is that good of a player. Carr needs more help because there's no Antonio Brown. And Josh Gordon's the number one receiver. Don't know if they're going to go down that road, what they want to do. If he clears and the Raiders have an opportunity to jump in and get him. I just think he is a hell of a player who's gone through so many personal issues in his life that I don't think he's a risk anymore. I really don't. And when you have Darren Waller, was addicted to drugs, cleaned himself up, went into rehab, fixed it all. Is he certain to be clean the rest of his life? Yes, he's claimed that he's 100% clean. We pray for him to be clean. It's a risk. Same thing with Josh Gordon, who didn't have a problem with heavy drug use, just marijuana. So will the Raiders go after him? I think it's something to watch. Joe Flacco is out 4 to 6 weeks. He will not need surgery. That experiment is over. So they went with Joe Flacco. Not a bad choice. He's won a Super Bowl. You give him a chance. They tried to, and that's it. And Baker Mayfield is now being defended by Odell Beckham Jr., says, I know what it's like to be him as the Wolves are at the door in regards to Baker Mayfield. Here's the sound that went viral yesterday. We got a couple of it. Bobby, go to the dumbest question soundbite, because a local reporter who he has a beef with asked him a really dumb question.
Field goal at the end of the first half. It seemed like there was a lack of urgency there. There was something going on.
There was a penalty, so we were negative yardage.
But there was a lot of time between snaps.
When the penalty happened, then we're behind the chains. No, stop saying but. I just told you the clock was running and we had a penalty. Do you want to give them the ball back? No, you don't play. You don't know it. That's just plain and simple. Was I happy with the drive? No, we didn't score points. It's the dumbest question you could ask. What? Jesus, Tony.
So he walked off. He had an argument with a local beat reporter there, and he had enough. So people are asking now, has he fallen apart? Has he hit rock bottom? He just doesn't like talking to dumb reporters. And the reporter asked some really dumb questions about if he liked the penalty. Basically asked him if he liked the drive when the drive ended with no score and a penalty. What is Baker Mayfield supposed to do? Well, he's supposed to do the right thing and be a professional and just not answer the question or move on. Not tell the reporter that he's never played the game and storm off. It's not working out for Baker Mayfield. I was wrong on that one, too. I had him in the playoffs this year. He's young. He's got better stats at the same exact age than Brett Favre and Troy Aikman. Better stats. Give him time. But if he behaves this way, then I don't know if it's going to work or not. Kyler Murray just threw a great pass that his receiver dropped right in his hands. Arizona 7, 49ers nothing. 5 minutes and 30 seconds to go in the first quarter in Glendale. Wonder how many Niner fans went to this game. They're undefeated. It's an easy flight, real easy trip to get there. Dying to know how many Niner fans are there. I bet you a bunch. All right, normally I'd go home and kind of give out candy to trick-or-treaters, but I'm here for another half an hour. Gary Lawless joins us next.